dramatic difference. Because of the unique situation that we're dealing with here, it demands a unique approach in payment of dues. And that's why I think this approach of a capitated amount with a reasonable dollar figure, it is the right way to go.
Senator Ausbent?
Thank you, Madam President. And in taking a few minutes while Senator Nienau was speaking, I just did a sample Google search on Child Care Providers Together, which is the name of the organization I referenced in my last discussion. And just on the first page, you find one for Ohio, one for Wisconsin, one for Oregon, and one for Kansas. And I'm so glad that Senator Kiffmeyer brought this up, because I glossed over it, and it makes you take pause and one in Michigan too. It makes you take pause in asking why we seem to be so insistent on using the force of government to step into a private situation where a privately organized union could do the job, and using our jurisdictional authority, whether good or bad, we can all continue to debate this for quite some time, that this is good or this is bad. I think on our side of the aisle, I think we all probably universally agree, the 28 of us that are Republicans in this chamber, that using a public entity to force a private union or a private organization upon an entire sector, which would be the PCAs or the daycare, is something that we would philosophically be against. And to the fee that, as Senator Nienau said, is that it's something where we can have some certainty on how much that is. And if those private organizations can be developed and flourish, they will become attractive to these private contractors and flourish into the future without the government being involved. So, again, Madam President, I believe we have a roll call. I certainly support this measure. Thank you.
Secretary will take the roll on the A-185 amendment. Senate is under call. Members, please vote. Members will please vote. Members will please vote. Senator Hayden.
Uh, Madam President, I move that those not voting be excused from voting.
On the motion, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion fails. And the secretary will close the roll. There being 29 ayes and 34 nays, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, members, I listened to the debate carefully, and earlier there was an amendment that did not prevail. But I took another look at how we might approach this just a bit differently, and so, Madam President, I would like to offer the A-219 amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment. Apparently it's not under your name. Do you know whose name it's under?
Possibly Senator Benson.
Senator Kiffmeyer moves to amend Senate File Number 778 as follows, page 2, line 35, and this is the A-219 amendment.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam President. And so, members, before we got bogged down a little bit in Tennyson, and maybe that seemed a little bit more involved in other legislation or other statutes or things, so I thought I'd just take an approach here that makes it just a little bit simpler. And so this amendment addresses the issue of transparency and openness, and that the Commissioner of Human Services shall notify in writing every person whose name is on a list provided by the Commissioner of Human Services to any employee organization under this section. This notice shall identify all information about the person that will be provided to the organization and shall identify the organization to which the information will be provided. After all, members, if this is their life and if this is an organization that is seeking their involvement and they are being involved in it, certainly both parties should know. They should know who they are. They should know what is happening. But it avoids maybe some of the Tennyson questions or legalities or technicalities or lawyerly stuff that goes on. This is just plain common sense, people to people, making a point here that the knowledge and the information shouldn't just be one direction. It should be in both directions, Mr. President. And so this amendment just makes this more common sense, maybe a little bit simpler, that everybody can understand the value of having information go both directions, and that every person whose name is on a list in this section, just to clarify, would be referring to those who are daycare providers and personal care assistants. So it would apply to both of them. And that the employee organization could be AFSCME, could be SEIU, could be any other employee organization. It's broad. I think it's inclusive. It makes sure that there are options and a variety that might be able to be included here. And it's a notice, not a warning, just a notice, identifying all information. We don't know for sure and getting in there as far as public and private, but there's enough other language in here that I think it can be inclusive in that regard. And it would be provided to the organization and shall identify the organization. I think it's very important that personal care assistants and daycare providers of licensed and unlicensed will be able to have to know what is that information that will be provided. After all, it is their information. So I think it should be, they should know who the organization might be and that they would be able to know what is that information. And then in line 1.7 in another part of this bill as well, the second part of the amendment goes to the Commissioner and the Bureau of Mediation Services to make sure that they would also notify in writing every person. And again, every person here is in regards to personal care assistants and to the daycare providers, because that is the name that would be on the list. And it would be provided by the Commission of the Bureau of Mediation Services to any employee organization. I'm sure they have that list. I'm sure they know those organizations, so I think it's pretty clear there under this section. And again, all the information, whatever it may be, public, private, or so on, that's just referring to whatever that information is about that person. After all, it is their information. And provided to the organization. It's a two-way street in that they would both be able to have this information. And I think that just gives some clarity, maybe avoids some of the lawyerly kind of issues. And this just makes it very people-friendly, very common sense. And then identify the organization to which the information was provided. And this information, again, is, I think, rather clear in the bill. And gives us as much transparency, Mr. President. And so, members, I hope this will be seen as a friendly amendment, maybe a little more simple, a little more direct. And so, members, I would ask for your support. Thank you, Mr. President. And I would also ask for a roll call.
Roll call granted. Roll call requested. Roll call granted. Discussion, Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm sorry I can't accept this as a friendly amendment, Senator, but so I do oppose the A219 amendment. We're already talking about public data here that's available to the public, and but more than that, I'm very concerned about the fiscal note and what the cost would be. I don't have that those dollars in the bill, and I don't know that Senator Cohen has enough money on the bottom line to come up with that for me. So for those reasons, I really have to oppose the amendment.
Debate on the 219 amendment. Senator Nino.
Mr. President, I will remind the members of comments I made, or a statement I made, a statement of fact, on an amendment I offered earlier yesterday. The very first, I believe it was the very first amendment that we adopted onto this bill, eliminated a provision that cost a significant amount of money. We don't need money from the bottom line. It's already attached to this bill. This amendment is already paid for with the money allocated to this bill already. At first glance, Mr. President, I just got a chance to pull it up and take a look at it. If this isn't identical, it's very similar language to that which was in the bill once already and was pulled out because we didn't have money for it. But now we do, because we removed another provision within this bill that had money associated with it. So, Mr. President, this is a eminently reasonable proposal, and I would urge support for the amendment.
Additional debate. Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. President. If Senator Pappas would yield, I apologize for missing the fiscal cost of this amendment. If she could yield and tell me what that number is.
Senator Pappas will yield. Senator Pappas.
I've been waiting for someone to ask a question about cost. So I have the spreadsheet here. This was a provision that we did have in the bill earlier, but in the interest of paring down the cost of the bill, it was removed in finance, and the cost for this is $148,000.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Senator Pappas. I think it's interesting that we're focused on limiting the cost for the state when it comes to sharing information with the people who will be providing the services, letting them know where their information's going, letting them know the state shared that information. That cost we're interested in limiting, but the amendment we just had that would limit the cost of their dues was dismissed out of hand by the majority. So I think it's ironic that we focus on cost to the state, not cost to the citizen. Once again, we have our priorities backwards, members. Let's focus on doing what's right for the citizens. Let's focus on doing what's right for the child care providers and the PCAs who are going to be solicited by the unions. Let's make sure their data is available. Since we're not going to protect their dues, let's at least protect their data. We need a green vote on this, members.
Additional debate on the 219 amendment. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, if that's the only reason why there's an objection to this amendment, Mr. President, I have an oral amendment that might help with that. I agree with Senator Nenow that, and Senator Benson, that there's money in the bottom line. This is certainly worthwhile and very appropriate. But if that's the only reason, Mr. President, it's just a two-word amendment on line 1.3 to strike in writing and instead put in place by email. And that would be on line 1.3 and on 1.8, striking in writing and replacing it with by email.
The Secretary will report the oral amendment.
Senator Kiffmeyer moves to amend the A-219 amendment on page 1, line 3, delete in writing and insert by email, and on page 1, line 8, delete in writing and insert by email.
Senator Kiffmeyer, I think that's fairly clear. Do you want to make any more comments on that, on the oral amendment?
Do I want to incorporate it, Mr. President?
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want to make any additional comments? I thought it was pretty clear.
I thought it was very clear, Mr. President. Thank you.
Additional discussion on the oral amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The oral amendment is adopted. To the A-219 amendment as amendment as amended. Any further debate? Senator Pappas.
Mr. President, now we've moved from costly to difficult, if not impossible. I know for sure that we don't have emails for PCAs because we don't have phone numbers for PCAs, and we certainly don't have emails. For the child care providers, I think it's pretty uneven whether we have emails or not. We have addresses and we have phone numbers, but I don't think we have emails for them. So I don't think this doesn't... This certainly is not doable. I don't even think you changed on line 1.8 in writing to by email. So you still have half the cost in the bill. If you did, I missed it with the oral amendment.
Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to inform the members here on the floor that don't have the privilege of serving on the Finance Committee that when this language was being considered in the Finance Committee, and at one point it looked like the Finance Committee was going to have this in the bill as it was sent to the floor, Senator Cohen stated to the Finance Committee members, if you want to vote for this, we can find the money. So the money is there. Now, I would argue that the money is already attached to this bill, but the Finance Chair said if we put this in the bill, he can find the money, and that's a quote.
Additional discussion on the 219. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate those comments, not serving on the Finance Committee. It's very instructive to hear that when there's a will, there's a way. When you want to in the majority party, you manage to make it happen. You find the money. You do something. When you don't want to, you just put up roadblocks. Too hot, too cold, never just right. And so here we have it again. No matter which way it is, there is money. This is able to be paid for by the mouth of our own chair of the Finance Committee in his own words previously, by proof that there is sufficient funds on the bottom line. So, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, I want to affirm again that this is a reasonable, common sense amendment. The person whose name communicating to that person, it's their data. It's a mixture of public-private data. We've heard that discussed here before, not just public data. And that it be provided in both cases, going both ways, it's fair. Mr. President, it's fair that whether it's the organizational employee organization or it's the person, this isn't like somehow this is exclusive knowledge that should only go to the employee organization. This is knowledge that belongs to that person, and they should know. This is reasonable, and it is paid for, and I request a green vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll on the A-219 amendment as amended. Senator Hayden.
Mr. President, I move that all those not voting be excused from voting.
On that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Motion passes. All those in favor signify by standing. All those opposed signify by standing. The motion does not prevail. Further discussion? Senator Gazelka. Senator Westrom, state your point of order.
Mr. President, I think we were moving to close the roll, and it failed, so would we not be in the middle of the roll, or am I mistracking?
Senator Westrom, your point of order is well taken. The chair misspoke. The motion prevailed. Roll is closed. We'll move on with debate. Senator Gazelka.
Mr. President, I have the 186 amendment. I believe this is under Senator Benson's name.
And Senator Gazelka, just before we take that, the roll call on that last vote was 29 ayes and 36 nays. The motion did not prevail. The amendment was not adopted. The Secretary will report the A-186 amendment from Senator Gazelka under Senator Benson's name.
Senator Gazelka moves to amend Senate file number 778 as follows, page 4 after line 16, and this is the A-186 amendment.
Senator Gazelka, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, this is a take another stab at the limits on dues. Dues for membership in an employee organization elected under this section must not be greater than $10 a month. Mr. President, members, that is double the amount that we had last time. I think Senator Nenow made a very good case for the number of things that are not necessary for these what I would consider small business owners and not employees. We already established that 86% of the daycare providers do not want to be unionized, but one area I don't think I've heard in this entire debate is what about those daycare providers that are CCAP providers? And there's the polling on that is interesting. If they're forced to unionize, 37% will not join. And then there's another 40% that are uncertain whether they'll join or not. So 77% of CCAP providers are considering not paying dues or fair share. They're just going to say, I am not interested. And so I think we should try to establish some union dues that are at an amount. Maybe it's not $5. Maybe $10 is where we should be, where it's affordable for those folks so that they don't get out of the program. Particularly in rural Minnesota, again, you know, this is the area where I see a lot of families just barely making it. And if we can make it where it's affordable, they will likely stay in. So I'd like a roll call on this, and I'd like a green vote.
Roll call requested. Roll call granted. Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before we changed presidents and on Senator Gazelka's last dues-related amendment, I had asked Senator Pappas if she had any information on what dues were paid in other states. She indicated she was going to take some time to research that. And so, Mr. President, if I could ask Senator Pappas to answer a question.
Senator Pappas, will you yield?
She will.
Senator Benson, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Senator Pappas. Have you been able to find any information on dues being paid by child care providers or PCAs? And the state that I specifically spoke about is New York, but if you have information on other states, I would take that information.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. President and Senator Benson, the dues are really set by the members, and so it varies from state to state. I do know in New York they have a sliding fee. But I don't know specifically what that is. The union that was referenced, the the beginnings of the union, Child Care Workers United, or Child Care Workers Together, I think they're called. They voluntarily have set their dues at $25 a month. So that's probably an indication of what the dues are likely to be.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Senator Pappas. I think it's good that the body have a little bit of information as to what we are setting forth on the citizens who will be impacted by this bill. And, Mr. President, if Senator Pappas would yield to a question about who would pay those dues.
Senator Pappas, will you yield? She will. Senator Benson.
Thank you, Senator Pappas. I have an organizational question. If there's a child care that's organized as a limited liability corporation, and let's say there are two shareholders in that limited liability corporation, who writes the check for the dues?
Senator Pappas.
Mr. President, Senator Benson, the dues would be withheld from the CCAP, like an employer would withhold dues from the wages of their employee. That's how it works.
Okay.
Senator Benson.
Thank you. And so would that be a charge to the LLC, to either of the individuals who is a shareholder in the LLC, or to the parent eligible for CCAP? I apologize, Mr. President. I forgot to ask Senator Pappas to yield. If she would yield, I can repeat the question if she needs it.
Senator Pappas will yield. Senator Pappas, do you need Senator Benson to repeat the question?
No, it's my understanding that the CCAP payment goes to the provider, and the money is fungible. The provider has CCAP money, the provider has other money. The dues are withheld from their wages.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Is Senator Pappas, if you would yield to another question.
She will yield.
Senator Pappas, is the LLC the provider, or are the two partners in the LLC the provider?
Senator Pappas.
Whoever is authorized to accept the CCAP money.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. President, for recognizing me again. It is my assertion, and perhaps there's a lawyer in the room who would like to contradict me, but if a home-based child care facility is organized as an LLC, it's the LLC that would make the contract with the parent, and that would be the conduit through which the CCAP payments would flow. And so the dues would be deducted from revenues flowing to an LLC, a corporation. And so, members, if we pass this bill, what we'd be doing is making an employee of an LLC. And it doesn't make a lot of sense, members. This is not a well-thought-out bill. It is not ready for prime time. It's not what Minnesotans are asking for. It's going to increase our costs. It's going to limit availability of these child care services. And members, you can vote yes on Senator Gazelka's amendment, but it is clear people do not understand what's going to happen when this bill leaves this floor, and you need to vote red before it leaves this chamber.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. This dialogue about the dues was something that I was trying to follow here in the fiscal note, and I believe Senator Pappas described that the dues are withheld from the CCAP payments to the providers. And understanding that, then, I have a question for Senator Pappas, if she will yield.
She will yield.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Pappas, so how then, what's the relationship then between the amount of money that's deducted from those CCAP payments for union dues and the amount of child care that's provided?
Senator Pappas?
There is none.
Senator Nelson.
Mr. President and Senator Pappas, well, I'm trying to figure out, since some of the CCAP money is being used for dues, does that mean that there are fewer children that will be on that will be able to get CCAP money? In other words, will the waiting list be longer? Or does that mean that there will be lower reimbursements to providers? Can you explain that for me? How does that work?
Senator Nelson, are you asking Senator Pappas to yield again?
Thank you, Mr. President. I am.
Could you state that question a little bit more clearly?
Yes. So Senator Pappas, the question I'm trying to get at is, if the CCAP dollars, some of them are now used for union dues, I'm wondering how that impacts, then, the remaining CCAP dollars. In other words, does that mean there's less dollars for children? So maybe there are more children on the waiting list who don't get subsidized child care. Or does that mean there's less money to providers? Or maybe there's a third option that I haven't thought of yet.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. President, providers have many expenses that they incur in taking care of children in their care. They have toys, they have supplies, they have food, they have things that they have to do to comply with regulations. They have types of furniture, they have car seats. This is simply another expense that they would have for the cost of their work that they do, and they also could pay dues to an association, or pay dues to a club that they might belong to, or they might have a video service to provide entertainment for the children. It's just another cost of what they would incur in running their daycare operation.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Senator Pappas, for explaining that. I will point out to the body, however, that there is one major difference, and that is all the other expenses that Senator Pappas mentioned, which truly are expenses of doing business in that particular environment, are of a voluntary nature. In other words, each business owner determines if that's a good return on investment for each of those expenses. In the case of the bill before us, however, the individual business owners, the daycare providers, do not have that ability to determine whether or not these union dues are actually something that is going to be a benefit to them, and they will have no choice.
Thank you, Senator Nelson. Further discussion on the 186 amendment. Senator Nino.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll make my comments more brief on this amendment than on the previous similar amendment, but I do want to speak to it again, in that it is a similar approach, albeit at a dues rate that is twice the amount. So I think that makes it an even more reasonable approach. I'll remind the members of the previous amendment, I believe also by Senator Gazelka, in that this situation is a unique union situation, so unique that we're creating special legislation for it, in fact. And in the normal union environment, you would pay dues and you would get a list of benefits that come along with that, usually the largest one of which is the collective bargaining. You can't collectively bargain with the legislature. You lobby the legislature. You can't collectively bargain with the governor and the House. You lobby them and hope that they will do what you're asking them to do, but you can't collectively bargain. The strike fund, they can't go on strike. The members identified, the participants identified in this bargaining unit, if you can call it that, in the union, can't go on strike. There are certain things the union can do for them, but there's many of the traditional services and benefits that they cannot provide to these individuals because of the unique status as independent contractors and small business owners. This I would purport is twice as reasonable as the previous amendment because of the doubled union dues amount.
Thank you, Senator Nino. Further discussion on the 186 amendment. Senator Chamberlain.
I see Senator Eaton's returned to the floor. I'm wondering if she might ask a question. and this is related to this, about costs and expense and trying to control expenses and mandated costs for our businesses, these small businesses. Will she answer a question, Mr. Chair, Mr. President?
Senator Eaton?
Yes.
Senator Eaton, will you yield? She looks excited. Senator Eaton, will yield. Senator Chamberlain.
Thank you, Mr. President. I remember sitting in some committees, and Senator Eaton, you were there, you were testifying. And do you remember at some of these committee hearings you were testifying and you said $10 a week was a lot of money to people?
Senator Eaton.
Mr. President, I don't recall that, but $10 a week is a lot of money to some people.
Yeah.
Senator Chamberlain.
Mr. President, thank you. Yeah, I recall that, and what you're a co-author on this bill, Senator Eaton, and I'm hoping you could support this amendment because it would help limit some of the expenses and costs to employers and employees. Because as many of us have noted here, or others have noted, that a lot of these employees of the daycares and the PCAs, they don't make a lot of money. And I know that you have made those comments, and I know you're concerned about individuals and their take-home pay, and I know you wouldn't want to impose more mandatory costs on them. And I hope you could at least support this reasonable amendment to help curb and cap those costs for these low-income, low-wage employees that you now want to burden. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Chamberlain. Further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll on the A-186 amendment. All those having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 28 ayes and 36 nays, the motion is not adopted. The motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would like to offer the A-231 amendment.
Senator Pratt offers the A-231 amendment. Senator Pratt, is that under your name?
I'm sorry, what?
Is that under your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's under Senator Benson's name.
Senator Pratt offers the A-231 amendment under Senator Benson's name. The secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Pratt moves to amend Senate file number 778 as follows. Page 4 after line 16, and this is the A-231 amendment.
Senator Pratt, to the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'm going to call this the Light of Day Amendment because I am so inspired by the sunrise over St. Paul that it's rivaled only by the sunrise over Prior Lake and, even more importantly, the sunrise over Lake Superior in Duluth. Mr. President, this is an amendment that as we've talked about, really goes to the heart of disclosure and protecting the people that we're trying to force into unions. We continue to call them workers. They're not workers. They're small business people. They are independent contractors. And before we force them into an election, they should have some sense of what this is going to cost them. They should have some sense of what the cost-benefit trade-off. We've heard $5 may or may not be appropriate. We've heard $10 may or may not be appropriate. It's up to the members to decide what's appropriate, and yet we've heard that AFSCME International actually sets the rules to say the first $21 goes to a certain spot. So, Mr. President, all this does is say that dues and fair share fees must be disclosed to those voting prior to the election. As we've been trying to protect the people who will be impacted by this legislation, I think this is eminently fair and extremely transparent, and again, sheds the light of day into the voting process. So, Mr. President, I humbly request the body to approve Amendment A231, and I request a roll call.
Roll call requested, roll call granted. Senator Pratt, strongest debate I've heard yet tonight. So, additional debate on the 231 amendment. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Madam, or Mr. President. Good morning. I'm wondering if Senator Pratt would yield for a question.
Looks like he will. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President and Senator Pratt. Were the concepts contained in your amendment, were they discussed in any way in any of the committees in which you serve?
Senator Pratt.
Mr. President, Senator Ortman, this has not come through any of the committees on which I serve.
Further discussion on the A231 amendment. Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I apologize if I jumped up in front of Senator Ortman. I would yield to her if she continued to have a question. Okay.
We don't yield. But
I apologize, Mr. President. The floor is mine at your grace. Would Senator Schmidt yield to a question?
I do not see Senator Schmidt on the floor.
Okay. Then perhaps Senator Carlson would yield to a question.
Senator Carlson will yield.
Thank you, Mr. President and Senator Carlson. If you've ever gotten your car fixed, you've probably been given a reasonable estimate of what the cost would be to get your car put back in the shape you want it. Senator Carlson, would you ever sign a blank contract for having your car repaired?
Senator Carlson.
Mr. President and Senator Benson, I guess I can't answer that because as unbelievable as you may find it, I always fix my own automobiles.
Senator Benson.
Well, we'll just keep going down the road until we find things that Senator Carlson's not capable of fixing. Senator Carlson.
Senator Benson, he is. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt.
I apologize.
I was going to note he is an engineer.
Yes. And Mr. President, having been married to an engineer, I have most of my car repairs done at home as well. So,
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. President. If Senator Carlson would yield to another question.
He's standing. I think he will. He will.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Carlson, let's say your roof was damaged in a hailstorm and somebody drove up to your house and said, here, sign this blank contract. I'll fix your roof. Would you sign the contract?
Senator Carlson, I think we get the thrust, but
I think we get the thrust, Mr. President and Senator Benson. I can't conceive of a time when I would sign a blank contract, no.
Senator Benson.
And thank you, Senator Carlson and Mr. President. I think we've established for the body, and if there are those in doubt who would like to query me, but I don't think anyone in this body would be given a sheet of paper by someone to told, I promise I'll give you a good deal, not going to tell you exactly what's in that deal, not going to tell you exactly how much it costs, please don't ask me any questions, and oh, by the way, I've got your information, you can't have mine. Pretty sure nobody in this body would do that. But so far, that's what we have set up in this bill, members. So far, we can't put any prescriptions on the contract. Now, if you're going to buy a house, we have all kinds of prescriptions on a contract. If you're going to buy a car, we have all kinds of prescriptions on a contract. If you're going to sign up for a credit card or a bank account, all kinds of prescriptions on a contract. We have rules about what receipts can look like. We have rules about everything in government. But on this, members, our majority has said, no, there will be no font size requirements, there will be no border requirements, there will be no disclosure requirements. So Senator Pratt is giving it one more try and trusting that the professionals who will be organizing these exclusive representative units will be able to a reasonable extent, discern what the dues and fair share fees will be for the child care providers and the PCAs. This is putting faith in the professionalism of the union organizers to understand their costs and be able to explain the benefits to the people that they are approaching. Members, this is eminently reasonable, as displayed by the example Senator Carlson yielded to when I asked a question. This deserves a green vote by every member in this body.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wonder if Senator Pratt would yield.
He will.
Thank you. And Mr. President and Senator Pratt, I'm not sure whether the question goes to both the underlying bill and the amendment or just the amendment, but I'm wondering if Senator Pratt could explain how the exclusive representative would be selected and how they would make a decision about the dues, if he can.
And Senator Pratt, to the amendment.
To the amendment. Thank you, Mr. President, and Senator Ortman. I think Senator Pappas has talked about how the representative will be selected. There will be 500 names collected. And based on those 500 names, we will start to validate whether or not those providers, those small business people, those independent contractors, legitimately filled out the card. Now, hopefully they're doing the work to make sure that they're not coerced, that they've had the information that they need in order to make a legitimate decision, that they haven't been asked in such a way that puts their patients or their clients in danger. And then we will go out and we will solicit 30% to say that they want to vote. So I think we've been talking approximately 11,000 providers in the state. 30%, regardless of where you live, no geographic diversity required, 30% will decide for the state whether or not your small business is subject to become a part of this union, whether you go from being a small business person to a worker and an employee, or an independent contractor to a worker or employee. And then there'll be an election. And as we've been told by Senator Pappas, the election will be fair and well run, just like they all have been in the past. But yet, we don't know how much, and they don't know how much this is going to cost them. They're going to hear about the benefits that the union will bring to their business, I imagine. We know that it's 50% plus one of whoever votes, and we hope we get a great turnout. Thank goodness Minnesota's among the top in voter turnout, but I think historically we've heard that in these type of elections only 20 or 30% of the ballots are ever returned. And who knows? I mean, I don't know. I guess we haven't gotten into some of the other questions about whether they're postmarked or whether they're certified mail or how that goes. But let's assume that all the ballots are returned in a timely manner. I just find it hard to believe, as Senator Carlson stated, that we'd ever sign a blank contract, that somebody would agree to benefits without knowing the cost of those benefits. I certainly wouldn't. Whenever I've taken employment or whenever I've taken a job, including running for this, I knew what the cost was. I knew what the hours were. I knew all the terms of what I was getting into. And so, members, all this is saying is let's be upfront and honest. The representative agency should be able to estimate with good certainty what the dues and fees will be. We get good faith estimates in real estate and mortgages. In the credit card business that I'm in, we have to give estimates of how long it'll take you to pay down your debt. When you take out an auto loan, they have to show you what the estimated amount of the loan will cost you. We do these estimates all the time, these good faith estimates. And yet, we're ready to take on unionization and forced unionization of small business people, people who own their own business, not employees of the state. So I think it's extremely fair that these small business people and these independent contractors know the cost before they cast their vote. So thank you for the question, Senator Ortman. It was I hope I answered your question sufficiently.
And Senator Ortman, before I call on you, just a reminder again that comments go through the president, not to other members on the floor. And in the yielding of question and answer, let's try and conform to answers versus debate.
Don't want to do
the rules thing at this point. So, Senator Ortman,
so
members know, I also have Senator Rood, I have Senator Gazelka, Senator Peterson on the speaking list. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Pratt, you seem to understand this portion better than I do, and I would appreciate your further guidance. When it talks about in your amendment about an exclusive representative setting the dues, must set the dues and fair share fees, I know we're talking about the timing of that, and I know that's the distinction between the bill and the amendment, is the timing of that, either notice to those participants before they vote or after. But I'm wondering, do you know how that exclusive representative actually sets the dues? Is it completely determined by the representative, or does the membership or the new union members, do they have some way to influence the outcome of the cost of the dues?
Senator Ortman, are you asking Senator Pratt to yield?
I'm sorry, Mr.
Thank
President,
you.
I would ask Senator Pratt to yield on that point.
And Senator Pratt, you will yield? You will. Thank you. And I think you probably got the question.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Senator Ortman. Boy, I get a lot of credit for being an expert on some of this stuff, but I have to admit I really don't know, because we've heard two different outcomes on who sets the dues. In one case, we've had Senator Pappas state that the members set the dues, and therefore we shouldn't impose a $5 or $10 limit on the dues. In other cases, we've heard that there are already minimum constraints, minimum amounts that must be dedicated to certain activities within the bargaining unit. So, Senator Ortman, I think you raise a very valid question that, had I had this in committee, I would have hoped I'd had the insight to ask. So I look at this as a good faith estimate, that whoever's going to stand up and represent this group of small business people should know in their bylaws what their standard expenses are, what their standard distribution is. We heard Senator Nelson earlier, Mr. President, state that the first $21 of union dues went to a specific, to the international organization, I believe. And this is concerning, Mr. President, because we don't know what percentage of income is going to be taken from these people, and they don't know what percentage of income is going to be taken from them. Are we going to take 2%? Are we going to take 20%? Might we take their entire paycheck or CCAP? I don't know. And they don't know, and that's a concern. So, members, that's why it's so important, so very important, that we stand up for the people that we're that Senator Pappas says we're trying to protect with the union, to make sure they have the information necessary to make an educated choice.
And again, members, I'll encourage us to avoid debate in answering the question. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I appreciate Senator Pratt's answer. I think the operative language in this amendment, members, is prior to an election. Certain things should happen, must happen, before folks that would be affected by this election, they must know those things. They must know who the exclusive representative will be and how much those dues and fair share fees will be in order to make this a fair election. And so I'm so grateful to Senator Pratt for bringing this amendment. How can we have a fair election without the adoption of this language and the disclosure to those that will make this decision? Now, we've heard a lot over the course of the afternoon, the evening, the morning, and now even sunrise, that these folks are already feeling pressured to participate in this election. Folks that really don't want to are feeling pressured. And we've also heard on the Senate floor that it's likely that a small number will vote, having the outcome, forcing an outcome on other eligible daycare providers and personal care attendants. And that's, members, what I'm most concerned about. That the information won't be available to them, that they won't be able to make an informed decision and a just decision for themselves and for others. And so I'm grateful for this amendment. I'm hoping that, Mr. President, that we will have a roll call on this amendment. And members, to those that plan to vote no on this amendment, please get up and defend your position. I understand that Senator Pappas is opposed to this amendment, but I'd sure like to know from the rest of you, if you're going to vote no, why you don't think that the folks that will be affected by this election should have the most basic information about how it will affect their lives.
Thank you, Senator Ortman, Senator Rood. And before you do, roll call has been requested. Roll call granted. Senator Rood.
Mr. President, will Senator Pratt yield?
Pratt will yield for an answer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Pratt, all evening and morning and night, I've heard this term bandied about fair share fees, and being that I'm one of the many that didn't hear this in committee, and I understand that you didn't also, but could you explain that term to me, because we've talked about it all night long, but nobody's really explained exactly what a fair share fee is versus, I understand what a dues would be, but I'm not quite understanding what fair share fees would be, and I'm wondering if you could explain those.
Senator Pratt, will you yield? He will yield. Senator Pratt.
Mr. President, I am by no means a union expert, but it's my understanding a fair share fee is simply the amount that is extracted for non-members in order to cover the common benefits that are provided by the union. I think Senator Pappas said it a little bit earlier. To prevent the free rider. So, Senator Rood, I probably share your question somewhat, and it might be more appropriate for the author or one of the many union experts that we have in the room, but that's my understanding of it.
Thank you, Senator Pratt. Senator Wood.
Well, Mr. President, then would Senator Pappas yield?
She will yield.
Senator Pappas, could you maybe give us a better explanation of the fair share fees?
Senator Pappas, I think you have answered this question previously in the debate.
I can answer in a little bit more detail. Mr. President, I thought Senator Pratt did an excellent job. Just a little bit more that is relevant to the amendment before us, which is what makes the amendment unworkable, is that the fair share dues are set annually according to PELRA, and it's a calculation based on information from the local union's independent federal audit. So it doesn't work to set the dues on a biannual or a two-year basis as it is in the amendment.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just want to know if Senator Pappas will yield for a brief question.
She will.
Mr. President, Senator Pappas, you may have said this. I'm just a little bit tired, but is this a friendly amendment to you, or are you opposed to this amendment?
Senator Pappas.
Mr. President, Senator Gazelka, I oppose the amendment. The reason I oppose the amendment is it's a top-down, it's a legislative approach to setting the dues. It really is up to the workers themselves, period. I have said that before, to determine what their dues should be. They might decide there's a probationary period for new workers. They might decide they're not going to collect any dues until a contract is ratified. That's really up to them to make that decision in a democratic manner. So I do oppose the amendment.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I just wanted to make sure I understood that, because we're trying to find some common ground. I offered two amendments at $5 a month and $10 a month, and for some, that apparently that was too low. All this one does is say they have to disclose the amount ahead of time so that people have full disclosure, so that when they are moving in and decide whether this is good for them or not good for them, they have that information ahead of time. So I just wanted to make sure, because we're trying to find something that works for all of us, and this, I think, could have done that. At least we were open and honest up front.
Senator Peterson, I have you on the list, Senator Nino.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in support of this amendment. Members, this amendment is simply about being transparent. And transparency in this process. You would think that it would be fair that somebody that was going to potentially join and be part of this union and sign their name to a card would have a chance to know what it was actually going to cost them, what it was going to maybe cost their business before they were asked to join and move forward. When we say something is transparent, members, it's something that we can see through, that light is shown on. That's simply all this amendment does. It asks for a chance to have those members see what the costs are going to be. You know, this we had a brief discussion about this exclusive representative that's going to be asked to begin to negotiate this process. You know, those they have some obligations, members. They have an obligation to bargain in good faith, unless they would waive that authority to bargain. So they have an opportunity or an obligation to bargain in good faith on behalf of their members. But if their members aren't going to know what those costs are before they vote, Mr. President, I don't think that's transparent. It's not something that's out in the open for people to see and have the information about. This exclusive representative also has an obligation to represent everyone in that group that has voted to move forward. You know, and how can that happen without having some transparency in the process that this amendment that Senator Pratt has offered members, this group, this exclusive representative also must adopt and subscribe to a certain standard of conduct in this process as well. Members, that's all about the transparency that's offered up in this amendment. And then along with that obligation, they have to maintain the demographic principles of their group. That's all obligations of this exclusive representative as they move through this process. Members, it's not unreasonable to ask that they know what the costs are going to be before they move forward. It's no different than an organization using a purchase order system. Why do they do that? Because they have staff working and negotiating pricing for their manufacturing process or for their retail process. And they oftentimes have purchase order systems in place so that those costs can be monitored in a black and white scenario and situation. Oftentimes, it's not uncommon for an organization to have a policy to get three quotes to ensure that they're getting the best value as they use that purchase order process. Members, this is not different from that process at all. Members, it simply brings transparency to the process and lets people know what things are going to cost before they move forward with a vote. Mr. President, members, I would encourage you to support the Senator Pratt amendment to bring transparency to that process.
Senator Nino.
Thank you, Mr. President. A couple of comments. First, to Senator Pappas's concerns that this isn't going to work with the current PELRA law, I actually disagree. What this requires is a prior notification before the election of, they must set and notify what the dues and fair share fees are. There's nothing that would prohibit the union from setting those amounts contingent upon ratification of a union vote. So this certainly could be worked in accord with current PELRA requirements. What that would do, actually, I would think the proponents that would hope for a successful union vote, I would think would be supportive of this because it would remove doubt in the minds of the potential union members, of those who would be voting. We all know, at least those that understand human nature and voting and ballot questions and such, if there's doubt, there's less likely to be an affirmative vote. If there's doubt, a human being, human nature, is more likely to reject because they like, humans like what they know. They like that with which they're comfortable. This would remove doubt. The union would say, here's the rate that we're going to set, but they could give the disclosure, but it's contingent upon your approval. But there would be an expectation. Now, to go back to the two prior amendments that I spoke in favor of, I think just before this, offered by Senator Gazelka, I supported those because they were a different approach. Mr. President, I think the members can look at this as a third way. It's a third way to approach a completely unique situation without having the legislature prescribe what the amounts are. We can still have a vote. They can still set the rates. They could still make that contingent upon certification with a vote from the union members, assuming the union is enacted or is passed or unionized or whatever the term is there. I think this is a good approach. I think it's entirely workable. I appreciate the creativity in trying to find some way that can bring all the sides together in what I'm calling the third way amendment.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. If I can add to the scintillating conversation, I would like to ask Senator Pratt a question.
Senator Pratt, will you yield for a question and answer on the amendment? You did great last time. Senator Limmer, he will yield.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Pratt, as I'm looking at this, I'm reminded of some election issues that we normally talk about in our own elections. But on line 6, you talk of disclosing dues and fair share fees. How do you intend on disclosing that? What would be the communication method to do that? Is it by direct mail or email? What do you think is the best way, and why isn't in this amendment?
And again, members, we address the president, not the member. Thank you. Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. President and Senator Limmer. My intention here is to simply communicate in the way that we've prescribed for the election, and if I recall correctly, Senator Pappas said that the election would be done through the mail. So I would presume, as I've done elections in the past, that there's a packet of information that would describe benefits and costs along with it. The idea here is just simply that whoever's running the election and whoever the representative body would be, and I think so far we've heard of ASPE and SEIU as two of the ones supporting this bill. Certainly Senator Osmick and Senator Kiffmeyer talked about a potential third. Whoever was doing that would be then responsible for making sure that the cost and benefits aligned and that they would provide that good faith estimate. Senator Pappas may have more information on the election process. I just simply wanted to make sure that the dues were part of the election process and disclosed for full consideration.
And again, comments to the president, not to the member. Thank you. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, Senator Pratt, we've had a lot of discussion about notices. This is exactly that. And when we have these conversations, let's say, with a citizen and its government, we want to make sure that when public disclosure is necessary to a specific citizen, we want to make sure it's as positive and absolute of an opportunity to get that message to an individual. You take, for example, the messages of, let's say, a city council wanting to affect the rights of a citizen. Maybe it's property rights. Maybe they're going to put a road in front of the lot that your home is on. They don't rely on just public announcements on a newspaper anymore. Oftentimes they put it on a website. Oftentimes they have a direct mail. We even have provisions that's affecting the cost of a citizen. Oftentimes direct mail, registered mail, requiring a receipt, because we want to make absolutely sure that that individual's rights of notice are fully accomplished. I'm not sure by the writing in this particular amendment that you have, or that Senator Pratt has, Mr. President, that we're going to satisfy that type of absolute disclosure. Now, perhaps we can do it by mail. I wish we would have entertained the amendment earlier this morning regarding something that would stand out, something like larger type font that we have discussed earlier today. Perhaps it's in a different colored envelope. If it is going by mail, that it would stand out in that bulk of pizza coupons and all of the credit card advertisements that we get every other day, and that something would stand out, bringing a particular notice to the recipient that this is something important, this is going to be something that's going to affect their bottom line on their monthly or weekly paycheck? And have you thought, I want to ask Senator Pratt a question, Mr. President.
Senator Pratt, will you yield? Senator Pratt will yield. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Pratt, have you given any thought to making this a more unique disclosure so that it absolutely stands out for the recipient so that they can see it and we can maximize the voter involvement of that particular potential union member?
Senator Pratt.
Mr. President.
Thank you.
Mr. President, I would certainly be open to any suggestions that Senator Limmer has in order to make my amendment better. Because certainly, as I described in the Light of Day Amendment, otherwise known as the Sunrise Over Lake Superior Amendment, that I want this to be clear. I want our folks to be able to make the right decision for them. So, Senator Limmer, if you have any, may I ask Senator Limmer a question?
You're yielding for Senator Limmer, so if you want to wrap up that question, and when he no longer has the floor, I can add you to the list.
Then I'll just simply answer Senator Limmer's question with a yes, Senator Limmer. I am open to any ideas that will help clarify for our voting members.
Thank you, Senator Pratt. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Pratt, in looking at this, we're kind of working on the fly here, but I would suggest an amendment to the amendment, Mr. President, on line 1.6, I believe after the word providers, insert via first class mail contained in a red envelope, something that would stand out.
Senator Limmer, would you repeat the oral amendment for the Secretary, please?
Yes. On line 1.6, after the word providers, insert via first class mail to be contained in a red envelope.
The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Limmer moves to amend the A-231 amendment as follows. Page 1, line 6, after providers, insert via first class mail to be contained in a red envelope.
Senator Limmer, anything additional?
Mr. President, the color really is not that important. I chose that color simply because I don't find too many of those color envelopes in my bulk of mail. And that really the importance of the color is that it would stand out so that if someone was going to look for a potential disclosure, it would be in an envelope that would stand out from the rest of the sundry mail that we get every day.
Senator Limmer. Discussion on the oral amendment. Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Limmer's amendment to the amendment is extremely interesting. I would ask him that he put it in writing. I'm extremely tired. I can tell Senator Pappas is extremely tired. It might help in order to be able to see it drafted and in front of us in order to have a good and thorough discussion on it.
The amendment has been requested in writing. While the desk works on that, I have other speakers on the list. So Senator Pappas is next, then Senator Thompson. So, Senator Limmer, if you'd work with the desk to get that in writing. Senator Pappas.
I just want to clarify for members that the exclusive representative or the union does not set the dues. The workers set the dues. And they don't set the dues until they are members, which doesn't happen until after the election. So this process that Senator Pratt has put in place is not the way it's usually done and not really fair to the workers who want to be able to set the dues themselves in a democratic manner. Plus, in PELRA, in 179A.06 sub 3, I'll quote, the fair share fee must be equal to the regular membership dues of the exclusive representative, less the cost of benefits financed through the dues and available only to members of the exclusive representative. In no event may the fair share fee exceed 85% of the regular membership dues. So it's a calculation that's done based on benefits received that sets the fair share dues. This is the way it is in PELRA. This is a process that has been very successful in the past 30 years that we've had PELRA, and I don't think we should be changing it, especially the part about not letting the workers even set their own dues in a democratic manner.
Senator Thompson.
Mr. President, members, thank you. I would offer the A-241 amendment that has been drafted as an amendment to the A-231 Pratt amendment.
And is the 241 under your name, Senator Thompson?
Mr. President, it's under Senator Nino's name.
Okay. Senator Thompson offers the A-241 amendment to the amendment to be found under Senator Nino's name.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Thompson?
I'm sorry, pardon me.
The Secretary will report the amendment. I'm trying to give the front desk staff a little bit of leeway.
Senator Thompson moves to amend the Pratt Amendment to Senate File Number 778 as follows, page 1 after line 7, and this is the A-241 Amendment.
Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. Obviously, you have heard during this lengthy debate that there are an awful lot of people concerned about unionizing daycares, particularly the self-employed business people who would be subject to this. I think the very least that we can do for them is make certain that whatever the dues is, whatever gets paid as union dues, does not get used for politics. And so what this amendment to the amendment would simply do is indicate that that the dues that are or fees that are paid to the exclusive representative must not be used for any political contributions or expenditures, and I request a roll call vote, Mr. President.
Roll call requested, roll call granted. Discussion on the A-241 amendment to the amendment. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I oppose the amendment. Once again, these dues are determined by the workers themselves, and they should have the right to decide what they want to do with them. So I don't think that the legislature should be intervening in the process whereby the workers set their dues and determine how they want them to be used.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think this may be most important amendments we'll talk about in the course of this debate. It seems to me that it's totally inappropriate to essentially force all these daycare providers who are business owners into a union and then require them to pay union dues for a political agenda that they may or may not agree with. That is the ultimate example of force. And I certainly hope that nobody in this chamber intends to require these daycare providers to pay dues only to subsidize a political agenda. And we've heard a lot in this session, members, about conscientious objectors. And I heard one of the most vigorous debates about that when it came time for funding Teen Challenge. Vigorous and destructive. Folks in this chamber didn't think that taxpayer dollars should be used for Teen Challenge because they have a faith-based organization. I think it's perfectly appropriate for us to say that there may be many members or future members of an organization like this that would conscientiously object to union dues being used for political purposes. I certainly hope that members can support this amendment. I ask members for their support, and I ask for a roll call vote on the amendment to the amendment.
Roll call has already been requested. Senator Pappas.
Mr. President, members, I want to clarify that political expenses cannot be included in the fair share fee calculation. That's part of what is excluded. So anyone who doesn't voluntarily pay full member dues will not have any money spent on political activity.
Senator Pratt. Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam President. The reason this entire argument began was so that we could focus on increasing CCAP payments, increasing payments to PCAs, improving training, providing access to education, and improving quality. And this just helps keep the dues focused on training and quality and education and off of things that are divisive and unnecessary in a political organization, members. This is a very clear benefit to the PCAs and child care providers to know that an organization that they're joining is going to be focused on their best interests and nothing else. Members, this is a good amendment. We need a green vote.
Further discussion on the amendment? Senator Sinjum.
Thank you, Madam President. And I, too, like I think Senator Ortman, are trying to like follow the trail here a little bit, and it's early in the morning and probably a little fogged over, but it seems like we've got a program here which is forced unionization, and then as we have these union members and as they get paid, if in fact they have state subsidized children in their daycare, we're going to take that money out of I'll call their paycheck. That's forced. They don't have any choice on that. And then it might also very well be forced that, in fact, that same money then is going to go into a political party which may not be of their persuasion. And so, what kind of a house are we building? It seems to be a house that's frankly, you know, it's just virtually undemocratic. I mean, it this is awful. I mean, are we really going down this road? Force, pay into something that I think a good number of our daycare people wouldn't want to have happen to them. Wouldn't want to have happen with, if you will, their dues, money that they're working for. Senator Thompson, thank you for bringing this amendment forward. I think it's just an essential amendment to this bill. If it's going to go anywhere, this is really, really. If it didn't 9 hours ago, this bill is really starting to feel awful, very, very awful.
Further discussion. Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll on the A.
Madam President.
Senator Nino.
Sorry, I stood, but I saw Senator Pratt trying to stand up, and I was going to defer to his efforts there. But I did want to comment that this amendment was drafted in my name. Senator Thompson offered it because he was next on the agenda. I handed it off to him. But I want to let the members know what this amendment is about. This amendment is about getting as much of the CCAP funding directly into supporting kids as possible. Because we shouldn't be playing politics with funding for poor children. This amendment simply says, take the politics out of daycare. Take the politics out of taking care of the poor and the needy. Take the politics out of the single mom trying to make her way in the world who needs a little help with Johnny or Susie in daycare in order to get that done. Every dollar that comes out for dues that gets paid for politics is a dollar that's not helping another mother, another child with the daycare services that we need.
The members that don't serve on the HHS committees probably aren't aware of this, but we have a waiting list that is 5,000 deep for CCAP, for the Child Care Assistance Program. And as we've heard testimony in committee and in the debate here on the floor today, if those resources get squeezed without a legislative appropriation to offset it, an increased appropriation to offset the additional expenditure, that means more children are going to drop out of the system and go on to an ever-growing, ever-larger waiting list. This amendment simply says, don't let that happen for the sake of politics, because that's wrong.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam President. May I ask Senator Carlson a question? Or not Senator Carlson, Senator Claussen.
I'm sorry, Senator Pratt. Did you ask someone to yield?
I'm asking if I may ask Senator Claussen a question.
Senator Claussen is not in the chamber. Senator Claussen, will you yield? He'll yield.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Claussen, I'm not part of a public employee union, and it seems that you've got some experience.
Senator Pratt, please direct your comments to the chair.
Sorry, Madam President. I thought Senator Claussen had yielded so I could address my question to him.
Okay. Go ahead, Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Claussen, when you make a vote to be a part of a union or to recertify your bargaining unit, do you know the allocation, political and non-political, so back in your teaching days or now as a principal?
Senator Claussen.
Senator Pratt, could you repeat that, please?
Senator Pratt.
May I have a little bit of latitude, Madam President? May I have a little bit of latitude to clarify my question?
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Claussen, since you weren't in the chamber, we have an amendment to the amendment that talks about the political use of dues and fees. And my question is, when public employees vote to certify a bargaining unit or a union back in your teaching days or as a principal, is it disclosed at that point? How do you determine the amount that will be used for political purposes versus how much will be used for the benefit of the members?
Senator Claussen.
Madam President, Senator Pratt, it's been several years since I've been part of a bargaining unit. Quite honestly, I really can't recall if that was ever disclosed at the time of voting on a bargaining unit.
Senator Pratt.
Madam President, may I ask a question of Senator Dahl then?
Senator Dahl is not in the chamber. Oh, yes he is. Will you yield? Yes, he will yield. Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Dahl, same question, since I'm trying to get a better understanding of how the certification of a union. When you certify the union, do you have a good disclosure? How do you disclose or how do you determine the amount of political of your dues that will go to political activity?
Senator Dahl, to the question.
Mr. President, and that's our union dues, that's optional whether they go to. We request to get those back so they don't have to go to any political action committees. So that's set at the national level. And we bargain locally for our own dues at the local level and what we might pay at the local level. So I hope that answers your questions.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess I'm a bit confused. We've heard several times from Senator Pappas today and yesterday that the amount of dues allocated to one function or another was determined by the workers. Senator Dahl just indicated that the amount of political dues that could be refunded to a member through the Fair Share Agreement was determined by the national level. Given that, I think the Thompson amendment to the amendment is extremely important, and that these small business people who may now be forced into a bargaining unit or a union or whatever you want to call it, may have their political contributions and their fair share refunded back to them, determined by the national organization, is contrary to what we've been hearing from Senator Pappas. And so I would ask Senator Thompson to yield.
Senator Thompson will yield. Senator Dahl, I've got you next on the speaking list.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Thompson, so if I understand, and please correct me if I'm wrong, based on what we've heard from Senator Dahl and Senator Pappas, this would protect the, as it pertains to my amendment, the amendment to the amendment, this would be a disclosure up front to be made so that people would know the amount that they would expect to be refunded, as we heard from Senator Dahl, established by the national organization. Is that a fair a summary?
Senator Thompson.
Mr. President and Senator Pratt, what my amendment to the amendment would do is simply provide that regardless of what the amount of dues ends up being, that no portion of that dues could be used for a political expenditure.
Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think, Senator Pratt, you misunderstood me. While an amount can be set by the federal level, you as an individual can ask for all of the political donations to be returned. You do not have to have any bit of your dues to go to any political action committee.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. President. That's what I understood. What I also understood from Senator Pappas was that all of the dues, every portion of the dues, political and benefit, were determined by the workers. And so while I may be able to request my portion back, the fact that those dues and that amount is set by the national level certainly goes to the fact that those, that amount can be disclosed to the voting members prior to an election being held.
Further discussion on the A-241 amendment to the amendment. Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll on the A-241 amendment to the amendment. All members having voted who desire to vote.
Mr. President.
Senator Ortman.
We have been here all night, and a motion to adjourn was voted down by members of the majority, some who are not here, and I'm wondering, have they been excused?
We don't have any members excused right now.
Well, Mr. President, I think that they should be here to vote this morning, or this morning.
Or someone may make the motion to excuse those not voting.
Mr. President.
Senator Hayden.
I move those not voting be excused from voting.
Mr. President.
Senator Ortman, we've got a motion pending. That's not debatable. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Motion prevails.
Vincent.
All those in favor signify by standing. There being 36 in the affirmative, the motion passes. The secretary will close the roll. There being 29 ayes and 36 nays, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. We now have the underlying A231 amendment. To that amendment,
Mr. Chair?
Senator Limmer. Yes, Senator Nelson, you were on the list. So, Senator Limmer, I'm going to call on Senator Nelson next.
I have a point of inquiry for you.
Sir,
is that in order at this time?
It is.
Thank you, Mr. President. I recall that we had a call of the Senate for the entire bill, and so my question is, how can we have two members that did not vote or maybe will not be here to vote when we vote on the final bill? I can't understand how that's possible when we've had a call of the Senate for the whole bill.
Senator Nelson, as with our normal proceedings, the motion to excuse members not voting is an acceptable motion, and it did prevail. So we're going to move on to the next item of business. You are actually the next speaker on the old speaking list on the underlying amendment, if you still. All right. Next, I had Senator Benson on that old list. Senator Limmer. Further discussion on the A231 amendment. Seeing none, and a roll call was requested, the secretary will take the roll on the A231 amendment. All members having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 29 ayes and 36 nays, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Any further amendments before third reading? Seeing none, the secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File Number 778, a bill for an act relating to collective bargaining, authorizing collective bargaining for family child care providers, authorizing collective bargaining for home and community-based long-term care services.
Further discussion. Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, it's been a
very long date. I said date, I'm just tired. But let me just say this. It's here you go again, DFO majority. Just because you can do this does not mean you should. You know, the surveys we've talked about through the night and into the morning is that 86% of the daycare providers do not want to be unionized. Yet you'll stack the deck, and somehow they may get their way, and you may get their way, and they be forced to be unionized. If you get this, you'll win again. Your union buddies will cheer, but Minnesota will remember. Who will be harmed? Well, it's going to be the needy families relying on CCAP providers that perhaps will no longer get those providers because they will not participate. We mentioned that 77% of the daycare providers that provide for CCAP families either won't join the union or may not. And I think depending on what we provide for and what they're going to have to pay for dues will be a significant part of the decision making. So who wins? Well, certainly we know that the unions will win. Estimates are as much as $8 million into their coffers, and we know where they spend their money politically. This is just another one of many bills that is the wrong direction. It's the wrong direction for Minnesota, and this is a clear no vote.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move to lay Senate File 778 on the table.
Senator Bach.
Roll call, Madam President.
Roll call on the motion to lay Senate File 778 on the table. Motion is not debatable. Senate is under call. Members will please vote. Members are under call, please vote. Motion is to lay the bill on the table. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 49 ayes and 18 nays, the motion prevails. Proceeding to the 13th order of business, without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senators Lorian Skoy, 11 a.m. to 12:50 p.m., Senator Dietzick, 2 to 2:10. Thomasoni, 12:30 to 2:10. Rosen, 2:05 to 2:40, and 7 to 7:45, Bach to 2:30 to 4, Schmidt 2:45 to 3:15, Dibble 4:30 to 6:30, Marty 6 to 7, Scoy and Rest 6 to 7, Rest 11:20 to 12:30 a.m., Brown 2:50 to 3:05, Rest 5:05 to 6:20, Rosen 5:25 to 6 a.m. On the motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. The motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the Senate do now adjourn until Wednesday, May 15th, 7:01 a.m.
On the motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. The Senate is adjourned.